eventually, after a few chapters, will be called Abraham. Though he is one of the heroes of the faith na inaral natin sa Bible, he is not sinless. Hindi siya hindi makasalanan. Last week, we have learned about Abraham's call. Tonight, we will talk about Abraham's fall, yung pagkabagsak niya, and God's faithfulness to the covenant promise. God is faithful to keep His promises despite His people's faithlessness. God is faithful to keep His promises despite His people's faithlessness. I've divided itong passage na ito into two parts. Unang-una, Abraham's faithlessness. Makita po yan sa verses 10 hanggang 16. And number two, God's faithfulness. Verses 17 hanggang 20. Number one, Abram's faithlessness. Last week, iniwan natin si Abram na nasa mabuting katayuan. When God called him, iniwan niya ang kanyang native land at sinama niya lahat, dinala niya lahat ang kanya para wala na po siyang babalikan sa lugar na yon. It was an act of faith. It was an act of obedience. Yung faith niya is manifested sa kanyang obedience to go. As per directives ng Panginoon, lumakbay siya sa isang lugar na kung saan hindi niya alam kung saan. Pinahawakan niya ang pangako na sa pamamagitan niya ay magmumula ang isang napaka-great nation na kung saan alam niyang, kahit alam niya na yung asawa niya ay barren or baog. He held on to that promise. Pumunta siya sa isang lugar na walang permanenteng matitirahan at ang mga mamamayan sa lugar na yan ay sumasamba sa mga Diyos-Diyosan, and yet he put up altars sa Shechem at saka sa Bethel and worship the true living God sa isang lugar o sa mga lugar na kung saan hindi nakakilala kung sino si Yahweh. When Abram obeyed God's call, he faced one trial after another. And as he goes through one testing, one trial, isang pagsubok after another, he endured sa grace ng Panginoon. Ngayon sa verse 10, we will see another trial. Basahin po natin. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to leave it open, slide your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, and you can put your fingers of verses 10 hanggang 20 tayo. But right now, I'm going to read some small portions from verse 10. Genesis 12, verse 10. Now, there was a famine in the land. Now, hintuhin muna tayo dyan. Yan po yung trial. There was a famine in the land. God here is testing ang pananampalataya at katapatan ni Abram sa pamamagitan ng famine na ito. But this time, his response sa trial na ito reveals Abram's sinful heart. It revealed a lack of trust in God. Sa mga verses na ito. Lack of trust sa Diyos saan larangan? Well, first of all, lack of trust in God's provision. Lack of trust in God's provision. Again, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Ang yearly na pag-apaw ng River Nile sa Egypt during nung ancient times makes Egypt a reliable source of food or grain. Kaya naging takbuhan ng mga taga-Canaan kapag lumalabas po yung drought, yun po ang lugar na madalas na tinatakbuhan ng mga tao na taga-Cana para doon humamili, doon makakuha ng tubig at mabuhay. Pansamantala po na nagsistay doon, yung iba bumibili lang. Maalala po niya yung story sa Genesis chapter 42 na kung saan si Jacob pinadala niya yung kanyang mga anak sa Egypt dahil mayroon tinatawag na famine. Na kung saan ang kanilang kapatid na bata na si Joseph ay yung kanang kamay na ni Pharaoh ng time na yon. Bagamat wala naman nabanggit na ipinagbabawal ng Diyos ang pagpunta ni Abram dito sa Egypt, hindi naman nangangahulugan na ang pagpunta niya doon is an act of faith, considering the scheme that he has prepared to execute pagpunta na niya doon. Meron na siyang premeditated plan pagpunta na mismo ng Egypt. Hindi naman niya kailangan iwan ang Canaan. Wala naman siyang natanggap na instruction sa Panginoon to go, kagaya ng nabasa natin last week sa verse 1. He could have trusted the Lord to provide for him and his family during itong famine na ito. Yet his fear revealed his faithlessness. And this is no different sa atin ngayon, mga kapatid. Minsan kapag dumarating ang pagsubok sa ating buhay, o panahon ng kagipitan, o panahon ng suliranin, minsan hindi natin alam talaga kung anong ating gagawin. We, sometimes ang problema natin, ang pagsubok na dumarating sa ating buhay is, one, akala natin minsan, sana isang trial lang. Minsan hindi one trial after another. Minsan nakakasabay-sabay. Parang 10 speaker na sabay-sabay sumisigaw at nagde-demand. At hindi na natin alam kung sino pakikinggan natin. And from there, naka-cloud na yung ating reasoning. And from ang immediate response natin is, kailangan ng patahimikin to, kailangan imit to. And from there, this is where it gets dangerous. Because we forget to hear the only voice na kailangan natin maunawaan, madinig. We become anxious, worrisome to the point that we are having a hard time hearing God's voice or God's word. And we resolve in doing things that are sinful or compromising or go against the salita ng Diyos. And then later on, we regret. If that is you tonight, let us be reminded sa instructions ni Jesus sa Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 hanggang 32. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. God is saying, I know the details of your life. I know the very things that you need and when you needed it. At kung hindi pa pinagkakaloob ng Panginoon yung kahilingan ninyo, marahil hindi talaga para sa inyo. O marahil hindi pa natin ito kakailanganin. Worry is sin. It's a sin. When I am worried, ang pumapasok sa isipan natin ay God, you don't know what I'm going through. God, you don't really care for me kasi tahimik ka. God, you know what? I don't think you have the ability to provide sa aming family. We start to doubt God. We start to listen to a different voice. If that is you right now, listen to the only voice galing sa salita ng Diyos. God knows how to care for His people. And if you are right now, nasa kalagitnaan ng decision-making individually or as a family o mag-asawa na alam ninyo, na alanganin ang inyong magiging desisyon ayon sa salita ng Diyos, I want you to pause and pray and seek counsel sa mga kapatiran, sa mga elders ng iglesyang ito so we can pray with you. Sometimes when we are in pain, gusto natin kagad yung biogesic, ano? Na nauubusan na daw. Ang point doon is parang pag masakit ang ulo, biogesic agad para mawala, di ba? Pag makati, kailangan kapalan mo kagad, di ba? Pag masakit na ang inyong kalooban dahil sa relationship, gusto natin mawala kagad. That's why we have a temptation to look for quick fix na hindi ayon sa kalooban ng Panginoon. If that is you right now, I want you to slow down, to pause, to ponder, to pray, to go to God's people and seek wisdom. Not only does Abram lack trust that God would provide for him and his family, there is also, second, a lack of trust in God's protection. There's a lack of trust in God's protection. In verses 11 to 13, alam naman ni Abraham na maganda ang kanyang asawa. At alam naman niya na si Pharaoh, pag may natipuan siyang babae, kukunin niya kagad bilang asawa niya na hindi nagpapaalam. Alam niya yun. Okay? And instead of trusting the Lord's protection, Abram resolved to trusting in his schemes. Yung kanyang diskarte. At dahil sa faithlessness at kaduwagan niya, ang mga covenant promises ng Panginoon na pagkakalooban siya ng descendants, ng land, to be a blessing to many nations, ay lahat ng yan ay nanganganib. Because he faltered in his faith. His faithlessness and cowardice has exposed further sin sa kanyang puso. Ano yung mga kasalanan na yun? It's obvious nga sa passage. Let me mention at least two. One, lack of love. Lack of love sa kanyang asawa. There was lack of love. Basahin po natin 11 hanggang 13. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' They will kill me, but they will let you live. So say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, that my life may be spared for your sake." Mga asawa, pag narinig niyo itong plano na to, anong gagawin niyo kaya sa asawa ninyo, no? O kunyari, hindi tayo magkapatid, ha? O hindi tayo mag-asawa, magkapatid tayo. It's not gonna go that well. What we do, so, eto yan, ano? Si Sarai, which is very interesting, sa panahon na ito, is around 60 plus years old. Now, alam ko pumapasok sa isip ninyo, okay? Maaaring nagtataka kayo na bakit 60 anyos ay marami pa nagkakagusto. I mean, that can be true. Sa panahon din natin ngayon. Well, we don't really know the reason. Some say na kung saan according sa Bible, si Sarai nabuhay ng 127 years. Some commentators said na kung saan yung age ni Sarai dito is in her prime. So we don't really know. Okay, what we do know, Abram is frightened. He fears. His fear revealed that he thinks little of his wife. Dahil sa kanyang takot. There was a lack of love sa asawa niya that he puts her in danger. Thus puts the promised descendants in danger as well. Does that make sense? Yes, he trusted God's word when he said, "I'll give you descendants." Pero sa kung papaano ito masasakatuparan, hindi niya alam. And so he did not trust God on the daily basis ng kanyang life. And surely, hindi niya nakikita na kasama si Sarai sa pangako at plano ng Panginoon. Hindi niya nakikita. Hindi naman kung paano tinuring. God said that He will make Him the father of many nations. Pero hindi niya nakikita na si Sarai ay gagamitin ng Panginoon to be the mother of those very nations. Hindi niya alam. Not until Genesis chapter 17, kung saan kinausap ng Panginoon si Abram at saka si Sarai. Abram didn't value his marriage that much. But God did. Isn't that good to know? That God is hopeful sa mga marriages natin. God's plan is not just for the husband Abram, but also for the wife Sarai. God's calling was not just for Abram, but also for his wife Sarai. God values marriages. As Ephesians chapter 5 po to. Sa Ephesians chapter 5, pinaliwanag ni Paul na design ng Diyos ang marriage as a picture para makita ng mundo what it's like to be loved by the greatest lover of all, Jesus. Ginagamit ng Panginoon ang marriage natin, nating mga mananampalataya, to display His beauty and grandeur. Brother husbands, let me ask you this. Paano mo pinangangalagaan ang puso ng asawa mo itong mga nakaraan na araw? I'm not saying months, I'm not saying weeks, mga nakaraan na araw. Are you leading her to Jesus or are you leading her to sin? Do you see her as a means of God's grace in your life, or do you see her as a means to an end? How are you encouraging her faith? Abram's plan were self-serving. Makasarili. Etong sinasabi niya, kung hindi ka magsisinungaling, verse 12, they will kill me. Kung hindi ka magsisinungaling, kung magsisinungaling ka, it may go well with me. That my life may be spared for your sake, me, my. Ako. In marriage, it's not about ako, it's about tayo. Are you serving your spouse, or do you have a tendency to enslave your spouse? Abram hid behind her, used her as a shield, instead of trusting God and making him his ultimate shield. Abram's faithlessness and cowardice has exposed not only his lack of love for his wife, but also a deceitful heart. Verse 13. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Because of fear, Abram asked his wife to lie and endanger herself, her reputation, and the future promised descendants, para lamang maprotektahan siya. She was his half-sister. Tama po yun. According sa Genesis chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 12, na alam ko na pumapasok sa isip, teka, half-sister niya yun? Ay, hindi rin naman ang Jesus, hindi rin niya talaga kapatid, asawa talaga niya. So maybe your question is, bakit ganon? Now, I did a little research, so there's a little to know about this union sa time nila, okay? Some say genetics are pure at walang harm na maidudulot sa mga anak kapag nagkaroon sila ng anak, kaya okay lang ikasal. Some say people back then spend their lives together with families at saka sa mga tribes, kaya naturally they choose mates within those tribes and families. Some say wala pa ang Ten Commandments, and kaya pa wala pa yung moral law patungkol sa marriage. So, we don't really know or for sure. But later on, this is what we know. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 11, dito malinaw po na kinokondema or kinokondem ng Panginoon yung ganitong klaseng union. So, magkapatid, and ang makikita natin sa New Testament, sa 1 Corinthians chapter 5, okay, nasabi, his father has his wife, yung isang member nila ay may relasyon sa asawa ng kanyang father, yung stepmother niya. So, hindi ho ito makikita na may turo sa Bible na kailangan may ganong union. What is clear though, is that God chose a sinner, a godless pagan, in his plan of redemption to redeem fallen men. But the point is that he crafted a lie, and the best lies are the lies that are malapit sa katotohanan. Kaya hindi halata. He was being deceitful. Ginawa niya ito not only to protect himself, but also to gain from it. And you know ano nangyari? His plan worked. His plan worked. Tinan natin sa verse 14 hanggang 16. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptian saw the woman and was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep, oxen, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. Overnight po, ang mamang Abram ay naging mayaman. Overnight. All of a sudden, pinadalan siya ng mga hayop ni Pharaoh. Now, hindi lang ito mga basa-basa na hayop na kung saan pusa at aso. Ito po yung mga pangkabuhayan. Ito yung mga pwede kalalong yung mamaman dahil sa mga hayop na ito. Not using that in derogatory way. Okay? Ano yung mga ginaano yung mga pinamigay? Ox. Okay? That was sinking. Okay, in a while. So, lahat ng ito ay pangkabuhayan. Now, we have no idea, but we have, di natin alam kung gaano kadami, ano, yung mga pinamigay na regalo sa kanila. Pero makikita namin ito sa next chapter, which is chapter 13, na nasa sobrang dami nilang na-accumulate na riches at yung mga livestock, na kung saan hindi kaya magsama ng pamangkin niya na silot at saka sa isang lugar, kailangan nila maghiwalay dahil nag-aaway na yung mga tao nila, dahil nag-uunahan na sa pagkain ng mga damo yung kanilang mga alaga. So, ganong karami. So, yumaman ang tumamang ito overnight. But, imagine with me, habang nakikita ni Abraham na isa-isang hinahatid ang mga regalong ito sa kanya, alam niya that these things did not come for free. He knows na habang isa-isa inaabot sa kanya, binibigay sa kanya, he knows this is not without a price. He knows that acquiring such wealth is coming from from dishonesty, and he knows na habang tinatanggap niya na ito, itong mga bagay na ito is very costly. Dahil alam niya na ang kabayaran nito ay yung asawa niya na hindi na niya kasama. Kung ikaw yan, bigat na. Oh, ito pa! Oh, meron pa, mga kalabaw. Ganda talaga ng kapatid mo. You could imagine what he feels. Nung kindergarten ako, may classmate po ako nagdala ng laruan na robot. Voltes 5. Maybe some of you young people, Voltes 5, wait, go way beyond. Yes, matagal na ang Voltes 5. How dare you? Okay? So, Voltes 5. All of us were impressed. Lahat yun, nagusto namin kasi nakakabit-kabit. Ay, ang galing naman ng laruan na ito. So, almost every day, dinadala ng classmate ko ito ng kinder ako. At, and I liked it. So, sobrang gusto ko yung laruan na yun, nainggit po ako, and one day, ninakaw ko po sa bag niya. Not saying that because I'm proud of it. Ninakaw niya. Iyak siya ng iyak. I lied. Hindi ko nga alam, nakita ko, may dumada, umiikot sa bag mo eh. Partly true, ako yung umiikot. So, yun po yung nangyayari. So, he cried, umuwi ako, inuwi ko yung laruan. Ang problema, hindi ko pwede pakita sa nanay at tatay ko. Nilalagay ko sa bakuran. So, hindi ko mapakita, hindi ko malaro. So, I hid it in our backyard. And every time na gusto ko siyang laruin, I play with it in secret. Here's my reflection ng bata ko that it still stings me pag naisip ko. I did not enjoy it. I was hiding it. I was not at peace. And I had a guilty conscience. So eventually, nakita na magulang ko, pinasauli sa akin. A few years back sa Pilipinas, I saw him. It's interesting, nung nakita ko siya, nandun pa rin yung kabako. Nung kindergarten pa kami. Of course, nagkapatawaran na kami. Pero ganun yung effect po niya. Friends, riches, possessions, achievements, without God or dishonestly gained will never bring true joy and true satisfaction. Let me say that again. Riches, possessions, and achievements without God or this gained through dishonesty will never bring true joy and satisfaction. Friends, what dishonest practices do you need to repent from? You will never truly enjoy that secret sinful relationship. You will never truly enjoy yung mga illegal things na ginagawa sa trabaho, especially pag nahuli ka. You will never truly enjoy yung mga bisyo na ating inaalagaan. What lies have you been keeping for so long that you need to bring it to light? Pastor, you have no idea. It's costly to tell the truth. It is. But it will set you free. It will give God glory. And the road to recovery, the road to healing is on the way. But if you keep that secret hanggang ngayon, it will eat you up. You will always have a guilty conscience. And there will never be peace. Nangungusap ba, Panginoon, ngayon? Anong kailangan nyo ng aminin? Sa asawa nyo? What do you need to confess to your parents? To your siblings? Or maybe sa kalaro mo na kailangan mo isauli yung laruan? Friends, kung mapapansin po natin, pati ang mga heroes natin sa faith, gaya ni Abraham, ay makasalanan sila. And all of them are in need of a Savior who will save them by grace. Honestly, sa Bible, hindi lang si Abraham eh. Noah fell into drunken disgrace after nila na makabalik sa land. Isaac has poor parenting skills. Jacob and his continual scheming, lagi nang luloko. Moses, may anger issues. Rahab, isang prostitute. Samson, todo yabang. David, a man after God's own heart who led God's people to victory, defeated Goliath, wrote Psalms, or a lot of it, but committed adultery and murder. Paul, the evangelist to the Gentiles, was a chief of sinners and the very one responsible in persecuting churches. Back then, he was Saul. Peter, the rock, denied Christ 3 times. All of our heroes in the faith are sinners who need saving grace. Ito pong tinatawag na biblical honesty. A testimony of the Bible's truthfulness. Na totoo talaga ang Bible. Totoong tao mga nasa Bible. The Bible records real people with real sin issues who were granted real saving grace. Abraham, the friend of God and the father of faith, when he was tested in this narrative sa isang famine, revealed a faithless, cowardice, and deceitful heart. His faithlessness has put the covenant promises in danger, and God was not willing to let that happen. Because he was faithful. God is faithful to his promises. And number 2 and last, God's faithfulness. Verse 17, but the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. God sovereignly intervenes. He was committed to persevere, to preserve the covenant promises na binigay niya kay Abram. Kahit na nagpakita ng faithlessness si Abram, the Lord remains faithful sa kanya at sa kanyang promises. So God strikes Pharaoh and his family with a plague. Some say ito'y parang ketong nung time na, pag nakakaroon ng ketong, walang pinagkaibayan sa cancer kasi walang gumagaling. Wala silang panggaling. Okay? Panahon natin, meron na. In order to protect and preserve Sarai, who will be the mother of all the descendants that was promised. So, ginawa ng Panginoon yon. Ito ginawa ni Abraham, nanganganib yung ang para, I will do something. Si Moses ang author ng Book of Genesis. Okay? Kung mapapansin ninyo, wala siyang sinulat na rebuke sa faithlessness ni Abraham. Hindi dahil sa mababaw lang yung ginawa niyang kasalanan, o kaya naman siya si Abraham and later on naging Abraham na big time na pwede na sigurong palagpasin yan, hindi po. Pero he writes to the Israelites who are reading and listening nung time na yon sa story na to. And he's also speaking to us today. That the rebuke to Abraham did not come from angels. Na yung rebuke or correction kay Abraham hindi galing sa prophets. Kung hindi galing sa isang godless na king, Pharaoh. If a godless king like Pharaoh rebuked Abram, then it is clear that Abram's faith has faltered or has failed. Verse 18 to 20. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Mga kaibigan, listen to this. Pag mga unbeliever na ang nagre-rebuke sa kasalanan natin, we should be quick to recognize that we are not in good shape spiritually. We should be quick to recognize that God is calling your attention kung hindi naman nanampalataya ang nagre-rebuke sa'yo. Hindi na maganda ang kalagayan mo. Pero ito, do not take this as something na kung saan hate ng Panginoon, kasi ito yung kindness niya sa atin. This is yung kindness ng Panginoon. If we are turning away from God, if we are running away from God, kapag lumalalim na ang involvement natin sa kasalanan, kapag palala na ng palala ang pagiging rebelde natin, in His kindness, He will intervene and will bring us back to where we should be. Because He who began a good work in salvation in you will be faithful to complete it, will be faithful sa Kanyang promise. He wants to bring you back in this joyous fellowship with Him and the Father. He will use different means. He will use His people. He will use preaching, counseling, rebuking, normal conversations over coffee. He will use God's word as you read the Bible. He will use the Spirit to speak into your conscience. He will use circumcisions. He will use pain. He will use suffering. He will use tragedy. He will use COVID. He will use godless non-believers to call us back to Himself. That's God's love. That's mercy. That's kindness. Hindi niya pinapabayaan tayo sa ating karebeldehan na sitwasyon. That is kindness ng Panginoon. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 7, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son who He receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons or daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom his father does not discipline?" Ito ay akto ng pagmamahal ng Diyos. But for those of us who are not sure kung may tunay na relasyon sa ating Diyos, God's kindness still extends to you. Pansinin po natin yung comparison na gagawin natin sa storya ni Abraham at saka sa storya ni Moses sa Exodus. Pansinin po natin yung famine ang nagdala kay Abram sa Egypt para makakuha sila ng supply, so pagkain. Samantalang sa Exodus naman ng time ni Moses, famine din ang nagdala sa mga kapatid ni Joseph sa Exodus for supplies. Gumamit ng plagues ang Diyos para i-judge ang pamilya ni Pharaoh to preserve yung line ng Panginoon, ng godly line. Ganon din po ang ginawa sa Exodus, God sent plagues para i-judge yung pamilya ni Pharaoh to protect God's people. Nung pinakawalan ni Pharaoh si Sarai at ang kanyang pamilya, ang pamilya ni Abraham, at pinagkaloob sila ng kayamanan, sa Exodus ganon din. Nung pinalaya sila ni Pharaoh, Pharaoh set them free, he gave them spoils, he gave them mga regalo, mga gifts. Now what is Moses trying to do here? Moses is drawing a parallel para sa atin dito ngayong gabi to point to us that there is a greater redemption. That God is going and has accomplished. At hindi ito maa-accomplish ng faithfulness ni Abraham. Hindi ito maa-accomplish ng faithfulness ninyo. It is clear that the father of faith struggles with faithlessness. The redemption will be accomplished by the one who is truly faithful, Jesus Christ. Jesus was faithful to the Father in every way, in His living and in His dying. Jesus on the cross, who for our sake was made to be sin, who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. He did not treat us as our sins deserve, because we deserve death. Jesus' death on the cross paid our sins in full, and He was raised to life for our justification. Friends, this is the gospel message. Ito lang ang tanging paraan for you and I to be reconciled to an angry God dahil sa ating kasalanan. And the Bible says, believe this. Ilang beses yun ang narinig ito sa mga magulang ninyo. How many times did your parents preach this to you? How many times you've sat in this service hearing this gospel message? How many times you have experienced God do working in your life and yet you reject Him? There's no way for you to be reconciled with God. There's no great preacher, great discipler who can save you from their sins. Our job, and everybody's job, a Christian, is to faithfully share the gospel of redemption. Now you have to turn away from your self-righteous life, saving yourself, and trust the ultimate Savior, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins. Magsisi na po tayo sa ating kasalanan at ilagay natin ating pananampalataya sa Panginoong Hesukristo at ang ginawa niya sa krus para sa kabayaran sa ating kasalanan. The story of this narrative is a reminder sa atin na hindi ang faithfulness natin that assures us the continuance of the promise of God. It is God's faithfulness and the grace which He works in us. Sa buhay ni Abraham, wala tayong makikitang righteousness. Wala po. He was a godless man like us. So which means those of us who have been saved by grace will continue to live depending on that grace. Friends, let us trust God for our everyday things. Let us trust God at ang kanyang mga pangako sa atin. Let us trust His wisdom. Let us heed His warnings and rebukes. And let us be sure of His intercession on our behalf. Because God is faithful to keep His promises despite His people's faithlessness. Father, we come to You with broken hearts and with crushed spirits. Thank You for crushing our hearts, because we know that Your open arms welcome to receive us. Would You call to Yourself those who do not have a relationship with You? Iligtas mo po sila. Would You break their heart of stone, destroy their heart of stone, and make it to a heart of flesh? Let them see the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe in it. We pray for brothers and sisters who are disheartened, who are starting to waver the faith. Would You minister to them? Speak to them. Call them to Yourself. Rebuke them. Rebuke us. Will You use Crossroads Church of Dubai to be a conduit of Your message of encouragement and healing? Knowing, Panginoon, that yung gift sa amin is ang church sa amin is a gift from You that You died for. And I pray what we would use it a means of grace to grow this community in loving You more, depending on You more, trusting You more in our everyday life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing a song of response to the Lord.
May we run this race, may we keep the faith, may our eyes be fixed on Jesus, that will not be in the struggle. There's a
Silent moment of reflection. Jude 1, 22 to 24. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Friends, go in peace. Our in-person class will be moved to next week. Go in peace.